Dead Hands.
All righty. That is a song by a brand new artist. His name is Dustin Collins, and that is a first song from him that really got a lot of attention. The song, Cold Dead Hands, was number one on the Billboard singles charts. Incredible for an independent artist. And yes, we touch on the subject a little bit, but if you want to hear a podcast about gun rights and so forth, this isn't the one. We're talking about music, we're talking about his career, we're talking about how he got started, and maybe I should care a little bit more about my career and tell you who I am. This is Richie Phillips, and the name of the podcast is Take It to the Top. The whole idea is you tell me on Facebook, you email me, you meet me on the street and say, get this person on or talk about this topic, and I, your humble servant, become the squeaky wheel and try to take it to the top until I get that person on, and that's what I did with this week's guest. Plus, he's got another new song out called The Barn, which is very cool, and a new album coming out as well. Lots to talk about. Let's get right into it. No more blah, blah, blah. Here he is on The Top, a top new country artist, Dustin Collins. Hello, Dustin.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine, enjoying the nice weather here in Tennessee.
Ah, you're in Nashville?
I am.
It's funny, I have relatives that live in Nashville. I think they live in Brentwood. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, that's where I live.
You probably live right next door. What a beautiful area that is.
Oh, I love it. I love it here. I mean, there's taco places within 5 minutes in every direction.
And from what I understand, 80 people a day move to Nashville. Have you heard that statistic? We took a tour, and the tour guy said that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I read someplace the other day that there are more cranes in Nashville building buildings than any other city in America.
That's right. The tour guy said that's the national. Oh, that's the city bird is the crane. Yeah, he was pretty funny. But you're not originally from Nashville. You're from Kentucky?
Yeah, I'm from about 2 hours north of here, little town called Bardstown, Kentucky.
Uh-huh. And how did you go from Kentucky to Nashville, the traditional route? You just moved in to see how you would do?
Well, I've played music for the last 10 years on the road, writing songs and, you know, mostly little bars and places like that. And we had some success last year with a couple songs. And I always told myself I wasn't going to move, you know, from the country unless I had a record deal or some kind of publishing deal. And this year we finally signed a deal with Average Joe's Records, and so I felt like it was time to probably relocate. So I packed everything up in my truck, put some stuff in storage, and drove on down here.
That's so exciting. So cool. I was reading one of your reviews, I guess, from, Sounds Like Nashville. I guess that's the name of the publication. It says, newcomer Dustin Collins delivers an impressive new single with The Barn. I'll give you a little bit.
There's a million things that we could get into in the barn, in the barn, in the barn.
It says you have a sensual groove, and Collins' vocals evoke the longing and anticipation percolating throughout this lyric about a country boy trying to coax this girl up to a hayloft for a romantic rendezvous. Skilled production, personality-packed vocals makes this one a winner. That's great review.
That's what I said. Every review I've gotten has blown my mind. I really appreciate all those people out there that have taken the time to listen and write about what we're doing. It's incredible to me. I mean, I think the best review before that we got was my mom saying, you know, hey, that's a pretty good song.
If you can get a good review from your mom, you're golden, right?
Yeah, that's it. If mom likes it, it's got to be okay.
Well, what's interesting, if I read the titles of your songs, you can immediately find out what they're about, which I think that's a great sign that, you know, you're doing it right. Like The Barn, I think we know where you're going with that one. And Cold Dead Hands, I think you know where you're going with that one. Did you find that one was a hard one to push? Did you get any pushback from that?
Well, surprisingly, it wasn't very hard to push. I mean, we put it in the right outlets, and it kind of took off on its own. But we did get quite a bit of pushback from that. You know, some of the radio stations really weren't fond of playing that one on the air. But we had some believers in it, and they pushed it for us. And ultimately, that's the song that kind of set us on the path that we're on today.
I see that. It says number one in the singles charts. You had number one on that.
Yeah, that was crazy too. I thought when the guy from Billboard called me, I thought somebody was playing a terrible joke on me.
That was your first one that you released? Was that the first thing you did?
It wasn't the first thing. It's the first thing that got any attention.
Right.
And I was on the fence about it, about releasing the song. Of course, being where I'm from, everybody loved the song. We were playing it live and people just loved it. And my pops told me, he said, you can't be a sissy your whole life. He said, go ahead and throw it out there.
And I saw that you are very interested in doing songs that have meaning, not necessarily, you don't want every song to be about a girl in the back of the truck and so forth. You want it to have some kind of lasting impression on people. Well, this one definitely would do that.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And from the get-go, I never wanted to get political with music.
Right.
So I try to steer away from the politics of the matter that, we talk about it in Cold Dead Hands.
Sure.
And just kind of tell the emotion behind it, about the people from rural communities and the way we feel about traditions and our rights. And, that's where I wanted to gear that song more towards and away from, I'm not a policymaker. I'm a singer.
Exactly.
So I don't ever want to be put in a room and people ask me, what do I think? Because, there's so many more educated people on the matters to fix the problems that we have. I can just tell you how I feel about it. And if you feel the same way, then you're going to love the song.
Right. And you said, your lyrics are very well put. I mean, you say right in the very beginning that you're a responsible gun owner. And I mean, you push responsibility right from the beginning. I heard that line.
Yeah, that's all I can say about it is really responsibility. And as long as you're doing the right things, I don't think anybody should mess with you.
Going back to your parents, I thought this was kind of interesting. They're both musicians and really big in the studio. And in what regard did they have songs that they put out?
My dad and my uncle put out a CD in the 90s. My dad kind of packed it in to raise kids. And
right.
My mom's always just been a beautiful, beautiful singer. She sang in church. My entire life, and I guess I got the guitar playing from my pop, and the singing from my mama.
And from what I read, they used to drag you to the studio, and when you were a kid, you were almost kind of bored with it.
Oh yeah, his pops would have to. He would be going in there to cut or throw down bass tracks,
right?
And my mom would be at work, so we'd get scooped up from school, and we'd have to go over and sit in the studio and. Usually we'd have to sit in the floor of the control room or something, and I had like matchbox cars and stuff in this little, it was an old tackle box, and I'd pulling cars out and I'd just be playing with them because I had absolutely no idea or interest in what they were doing until I was older. And, they always they were always in the studio writing or recording or just playing.
Sure.
I grew up in a very musical home and we were all, whether it was the recording studio, the kitchen table, the campfire, we was always playing something.
Right, and I can see it as a kid. I mean, you're not going to sit there and watch them do take after take after take and just for the bass track.
I probably ought to have. I probably just paid more attention to them earlier. might have been some kind of prodigy. I guess that flew over my head, though.
I'm trying to gear this podcast a little more toward musicians because I used to be on radio. I did a morning show here for 29 years on the country station, and I always had a keyboard on the air. And my biggest thrill was, like, if you came to town and you came to our morning show, we would jam together and that type of thing. So my podcast, I'm trying to gear a little bit on the geeky side toward musicians. And so I'm kind of interested in when you go into a studio and your writing process, do you walk in with a completely finished song, or are you more loose as far as, when you walk in the studio, you kind of like write it as you go along?
Well, usually the big studio, that costs a lot of money.
Right.
So I try to go in there as prepared as possible. But, we've got a home recording studio here.
Right.
I've had a home set up for a long time. So, when I take stuff to the major studio in Nashville, or go down to either Ocean Way or down here to Omni or something, I like to have my demos all ready to rock and roll, everything charted down. That way I'm not wasting anybody's time and everybody's in there. And it seems to, you make a lot of friends that way whenever you come in and you're prepared.
Sure.
As opposed to going in there and nobody knows what they're doing, and the session leader, you know, you want everybody to kind of be on the same page. And if you can come in there with, you know, a decent demo of what you're trying to get cut, it just helps out so much. You know, the process just goes a lot quicker and a lot smoother, and then you have more time to go sing the vocal part 6,000 times.
Right. You're listening to The Top with top new country artist, Dustin Collins. Let's continue and get a little more geeky with some more technical questions for you musicians out there that might be interested. Once again, you're listening to The Top, and this is top new country artist, Dustin Collins. Let's continue with my discussion. I know I get a little geeky with the questions here, but this is kind of more geared toward the musicians out there that want to know the recording process. I mean, technology is so good now. Do they ever accept the tracks that you have at home? Like, if you put down a bass track and it's perfect and it's digital anyway, do they ever just copy it and use that, or do they make you start from scratch? I always wonder about that.
Well, usually the process is you'll have an A team of session players, you know, guys that are just so good that it's ridiculous, and you just go in there, and usually if you have the chart, you know, I write the charts out. You know, they'll nail it within one or two takes.
Oh, you actually write the charts out. I didn't think they even use charts necessarily anymore that much.
Oh, yeah. Everybody uses charts. I mean, everybody's on the numbers down here. It's just the easiest way for everybody to kind of be on the same page.
Literally.
So, yeah, literally. Everybody, you know, they'll deviate from the chart, you know, if we get in there and they – you know, they want to try something, you know, and the kind of person I am is, you know, if I hire some musicians to come in and play, I've hired them for their expertise. So I want to hear what they got.
Right.
You know, I want to hear the best of what they got to bring to the table. And I'm not scared to let them go off and do what they feel like the song needs. As long as when I'm recording, it's all about the song. It's about, you know, not whether, yeah, we could cut a sick, nasty guitar solo on everything, but, you know, you really want to try to complement the song and try to stay with what the song needs.
Mm-hmm. But I also read that you are very loyal to your band members, but they wouldn't let you in the beginning use any of the band members on the tracks. They really stick with the Nashville session players in the beginning?
Well, it's you know, my guys are great. I love my band.
Right.
I've only got one of them, though, in the band that's got any studio experience.
Oh.
And when you put those headphones on and you're playing to a click, it's just a different world than trying to, you know, go out on the stage and be a rock and roll star, you know. And they're all good at that. They're all great,
right,
great players. But, you know, just for time and budget sake, you know, when you go in the studio, you really want to get in and get out and not waste a whole bunch of time and budget on stuff. Because as independent artists, you know, which I've been an indie artist my entire career, it's, you know, we're scrimping and saving up change to get these things recorded.
Gotcha. Time is money, and money is time.
Yeah, that's about it. I'd love to be able to sit down and have, you know, the producer and the engineers in there and us, you know, take 6 months on a record, but, you know, maybe that's in the future.
That's right. That's exactly right. I've been trying to read as much about you as I possibly can. Do you actually write a song every single day?
I try my best to write one song every day.
Wow. So how many songs do you have on the computer?
Good ones or period.
Well, they always say it takes like 100 songs to make a good one. Is that?
Yeah, that's about the truth. I mean, in my catalog right now, I think I've got about 60 that I like. As far as little bits and pieces of songs, I've got a hard drive and a half of that stuff.
Yeah. I was talking with Phil Vassar. He said that all over his phone he has ideas. He's just constantly, yeah, you know, dictating to his phone all the time.
That notepad and that voice memo is full. I recently had to buy a new phone, and they said, do you want the big one or the little one? I was like, yeah, we're going to have to get that big one.
256 gigs, right?
Yeah, you got to get the big gigs. Those voice memos fill up fast.
And they also said when you go to another concert, you're always taking notes. You're always looking for something. What are you looking for when you go see somebody else on stage to try to learn?
I mean, for example, like I went to the Aldean show and had some really good tickets, and we were in the pit, and that was the first time I'd been that close to like an arena show. And just from the start of the show, that they were playing, I guess they introed with In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And after that drum solo, it was like the doot, 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 doot. And then the band came out just full force. And I just thought that was a really neat way to start the show and just get everybody's, you know, because everybody knows that song and it just gets you pumped up for a rock and roll concert. And when they came out, they were just on fire the entire show. I mean, 90 minutes of full rock and roll.
But I picture you more as a traditional country artist. So would you throw in a lot of stuff out of your genre in your show? And if you did like a big arena
show? Oh, yeah. People say that all the time, that they hear the recordings or whatever, and then they come to the show, and, you know, our intro is Van Halen running with the devil.
Right. Oh, it is. Yeah, yeah.
The first song we play is Running with the Devil into Cold Dead Hands, which we, you know, we kind of beef up quite a bit with the guitars. And I mean, it's a full rock and roll show whenever you come out and see it.
Uh-huh. Do you think that Garth Brooks might have been the father of that? A person who...
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And Garth is my favorite, hands down. Will always be since I was 4 years old.
I'll tell you, like I said, I did morning radio for 29 years, and I will never forget his concert here.
I've seen him 3 times now, and I feel like a child every time I go.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the whole time I'm waiting in line. I don't wait in line to go to the daggone McDonald's.
Yeah.
I hate waiting in line. But I sat there in that line for 2.5 hours with a smile on my face,
sure,
waiting for Garth Brooks.
Absolutely. And again, being on the air that long, I can remember a time in the beginning where you would never even mention songs that weren't country. Yes, but, you know, we were told on the air, do not talk about any of the other formats or anything like that. We're just a country station, blah, blah, blah. You know, and today, everything's kind of mixed together.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that want to stay to the traditional side of country.
Right.
Which I love traditional country. I love Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings. I love Ernest Tubb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerry Reed. But, you know, I heard that podcast you did with Phil Vassar. You know, and some of the stuff that you guys were talking about. You know, if you continue to write the same song over and over again and music never evolves or changes, you're going to be listening to the same song for 30 years.
That's right. He said that.
I love that. I thought, yep, you know, and there's so many people out here that give grief to a lot of the guys out here singing and playing. But, you know, as long as it sounds good, it's good.
But it's true. You've kind of set the tone for yourself by doing one controversial song and one regular song. So it makes me as a listener go, oh, I wonder what this guy's going to come up with next. Versus you always having the same theme with every one of your songs. So I think that's good.
I absolutely don't ever want to be the same.
Right.
I don't want to put out anything that sounds too close to something else.
Right.
And that's something that I've been lucky to been able to do, is because, you know, I wasn't educated in songwriting, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't do it the traditional Nashville way. And so I guess me just, ignorance of not knowing how songs are supposed to be written, I just wrote them the way I wanted to, and as long as people like them, you know, that I didn't really care.
That's funny you say that, because being a keyboard player, I've tried to write my own songs, and I'll finish a song and go, oh, that's me trying to be Billy Joel, and then I'll do it again, oh, that's me, those chords sound exactly like Elton John, and then I just throw it away, and I get frustrated because I'm trying to sound like myself, but I don't know how to do that. I think that's a very hard thing to do as a musician.
Well, for me, it's, you know, lack of options. I'm not really that good at guitar player. I could only sing what I write and write what I sing. You know, I've never been, I do a lot of cover songs and stuff like that, but, you know, most of those lean towards the traditional country stuff I grew up singing. But the only way I've ever known how to sing was to sing like me.
Well, I think musicians never know how good they are. I could play you a little piece of the Phil Vassar interview. He said the exact same words. He says, I'm not that good of a piano player, but I can sing. And he said the exact same thing. It's so funny.
I never was a singer. I just started singing maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Huh.
I played guitar in some bands, and eventually, you know, the people quit the band, or, you know, little Johnny just had a baby. He can't play no more.
Right.
he got married and moved to Wisconsin, or you know, whatever reason they have to dip out of the band. And then I was like, well, I still want to play, and I can play guitar. So I was like, you know what, I'll sing my own songs and I'll go play by myself acoustic. That's kind of how that all started. And I was terrible. I was a terrible singer. I actually had to go get vocal lessons and all kinds of stuff just so I could sing. And I was so scared to go out there and sing in front of people. It took a little process for me to actually get to where I'm at right now, where I can go out and act like a goofy country nutball for an hour and a half.
Yeah, but look at your review. I mean, the first thing that person said was that you have great vocals. So the lessons worked.
It's still a work in progress every day.
Who is David Long? I was reading that as well. He said he encouraged you and he's considered your mentor. Or is he somebody big in the music business? I'm not aware of him.
I'll tell you, David is a great, great friend of mine. And he's been my business partner for some time now. And, you know, we kind of, this dream of Nashville and going for the country music, but, you know, he's just been encouraging. He's just been one of those constant people in my life that have encouraged me to do better and reach to do better things. And I always appreciate that guy for everything he's done for me and done for the band, and just one of those people in your life that keep you motivated and keep you focused.
That's great. You need a team behind you, especially in this business, right?
As long as I got the people that I'm working with now, man, people say, oh, one day you'll make it. And sometimes, you know, there's sometimes I'm sitting at a show and I get a paycheck that pays my car insurance.
Sure.
I feel like I've made it.
Are you going to be doing any opening acts, or have you done opening acts for other, for bigger, not bigger, but you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, we've opened up for Aaron Watson. We were out on the road with him last year, and he's a great, great talent out of Texas, independent artist that's just killing it. I mean, killing it out there.
Hmm.
And you know, we learned a lot on that tour about, you know, consistency and keeping to your brand and making sure that every night you go out there and deliver what people came to see.
Sure.
And I've seen a lot of bands and been to a lot of shows, but those guys do it right every single night.
Now, do you have a family? I mean, do you like being on the road and away from Nashville?
Well, I you know, my mom, my dad, you know, cousins and stuff, but I'm single, no kids, you know, so yeah. It's still an adventure to me. I'm enjoying it out here on the road, and I enjoy Nashville, so I haven't been here very long, but I've loved it since I've been here.
What is your long-term goal with your music?
To keep on doing it.
Right.
as long as people listen, I'm going to keep on playing.
Well, you got a ton of downloads from your song. I mean, you're getting out there. Do you use social media a lot? Are you into social media yourself, or do you hate working with it?
Recently, I had run all the social media pages until we signed with Average Joe's, and now they've taken quite a bit of that burden off.
Yeah.
Because it really is a full-time job to stay on socials and make sure that the songs are getting out there to people. And they do a great job. They do a way better job than I ever did. So I'll just let them do what they do.
But while we're on the subject, do you have a website that people can go to hear more of your stuff?
I do. We have www.dustincollinsmusic.com.
Okay, that's easy.
And you can find all of our socials there. You can find all of our information, all of our tour dates, everything about us is on that site. We also, our Facebook page right now, we have the pre-order of my new record, It's Been a While, is on the Facebook page, www.facebook.com/DustinCollinsMusic. Pretty easy to remember. You go on there, you can click and you can either pre-order the record on iTunes or Google Play. And for guys like me that are coming up that are still independent, these pre-orders are our best shot at getting on the country charts.
Gotcha.
So, you know, they all count towards our first week of sales. So we want to go out there and try to encourage as many people as they can to just, you know, listen to the Grat track, you know, the free track you get when you order it. I believe it's The Barn, which, you know, I love that song. It's a great tune. If people can go out there and, you know, pre-order the record, share it with their friends if they like it, you know, that helps us out a whole bunch.
And being that this is a podcast, I will put all the information that you just rattled off in the show notes so you don't have to remember this as you're driving.
Yeah, I feel like that would cause some severe traffic issues.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Well, Dustin, it's been great talking to you, and good luck with your career. Sounds like you're really on the right track with it.
Man, I try my best every single day. Wake up and get after it.
Now, I'm up here in the Northeast. I'm in Albany, New York. Have you ever been up here?
I have not, but I've been talking to a couple promoters up there about coming up to that area. I had no idea that New York had such a, you know, that they like country music as much as they do. So
that was my next statement.
I'm definitely going to have to get up there.
Country music is huge up here. Absolutely huge.
I'm definitely going to have to get up that way.
Oh, you have to. Well, Dustin, thank you so much. Good luck. And thanks for calling in the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
He seems to really have his head on straight, and we really wish him a lot of luck. Dustin Collins. Watch for him. And it would definitely help me if you would subscribe to this podcast, because that will let you know when new podcasts are available, and I would really appreciate that. I am Ryman Richie Phillips, R-I-C-H-I-E, P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S, like Phillips Milk of Magnesia. I am that on Facebook. I'm Ryman Richie on Twitter. And my website is, well, I have a little jingle for my website. Hit it, boys.
HIRERICHIE.com.
That's HIRERICHIE.com. That's it for this edition. By the way, I publish this podcast every other Tuesday. Think the top on Tuesday, okay? Catch me next time as I try once again as hard as I can to
take it to the top. To the top.
Richie, don't stop till you take it to the top.